1987. Remembering Jackie Robinson. Kind of. The game. Baltimore Orioles 2, Texas Rangers 1 at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. Attendance 51,650 on Monday, April 6, 1987. The weather, cloudy and in the 40s. Hall of Famers, Orioles first baseman Eddie Murray and shortstop Cal Ripken Jr. Game highlights. It was a very unfamiliar feeling for Orioles fans. Opening day after a losing season. It hadn't happened in almost 20 years, but after the previous year's last place finish, there was only one way to go. In Cal Ripken Sr.'s managerial debut, his seemingly improved birds sent the faithful home jubilant with a bottom of the ninth walk-off sacrifice fly by Larry Sheets, putting the Orioles in the win column. There wouldn't be enough of those wins the rest of the way, and the Orioles would finish six games worse than the year before. Texas scored their only run in the first, a home run off the bat of Rangers outfielder Odubby McDowell, or, as ESPN's Chris Berman might have called it that night on SportsCenter, Odubby young again McDowell facing the Orioles ace Mike Boddicker. Back, gone! The story. As part of opening day 1987 pregame activities at Memorial Stadium, four men walked out to second base for a special ceremony to honor Jackie Robinson on the 40th anniversary of his historic debut with the Brooklyn Dodgers in April 1947. Orioles first baseman Eddie Murray, Baltimore Mayor Clarence Dew Burns, the first black mayor in the city's history, Memorial Stadium public address announcer Rex Barney, a teammate of Jackie's from 1947 to 1950, and Sam Lacy, sports editor of the Baltimore Afro-American newspaper since 1944. Mayor Burns planted a special commemorative second base bag inscribed with a large blue number, 42, the number worn by Robinson throughout his 10-year career with the Dodgers. Similar ceremonies were playing out across Major League Baseball this opening day, in Los Angeles, where Robinson's Dodgers never played, but where the storied franchise moved in 1958, his widow Rachel and daughter Sharon headlined the ceremony as one of his grandsons anchored the base. In Baltimore, the gesture received little attention. There was no mention of the pregame activity in the next day's Baltimore Sun. In the newspaper's game day issue, a box of opening day facts and figures appeared next to Tim Kirkchin's season preview, including a single paragraph detailing the tribute. Dedicating second base to Robinson made sense. It was the position he played more than any other. It was also a base he stole more than 100 times during his too brief career. More than a decade later, Major League Baseball realized this kind of tribute wasn't enough. It was a nice start, but was lost in the hoopla of opening day. It was clear the game and the country still had a long way to go, as painfully illustrated on national television that night by Los Angeles Dodgers executive Al Campanis. Several days earlier, George Will had reached out to his ABC News colleague Ted Koppel with a suggestion. Will was a devoted baseball man and respected contributor on the network's This Week with David Brinkley Sunday morning Talking Heads news program. After an unsuccessful attempt to convince the team at This Week to do a story on the Robinson anniversary, Will pitched the idea to Koppel for his award-winning Nightline program. In a 2005 archived interview for the Television Academy Foundation, Koppel recalled the conversation. George Will called me up and said, "I can't get those people over at This Week to commemorate the occasion. Someone ought to do it. It's a good story. Why don't you do it?" As my colleagues here know, I know nothing about baseball, but I was perfectly happy to do it. I saw it as an interesting story. We invited Al Campanis on because he and Jackie Robinson had, at one time in the 1940s, been roommates, Koppel continued. Our assumption was here was this white ball player who had been roommates with the first black ball player in the major leagues. they must have been pretty good friends, and that Al Campanis must be a pretty extraordinary guy also, because that took some guts back in those years when Jackie Robinson was routinely taunted and people were throwing trash at him, and his life was being routinely threatened. So to be his roommate took some courage. It certainly had the potential to be interesting, as Koppel had hoped. Surely the 70-year-old Dodgers executive would have some eye-opening stories about the racist attacks Robinson endured during those early years. Instead, it became one of the most talked-about, cringe-worthy segments in Koppel's 25 years hosting Nightline. Campanis shared the split screen that night with noted sports writer and author Roger Kahn. Koppel challenged both men with questions. After Kahn acknowledged that Robinson, who died in 1972, would be disappointed to know that in 1987 there were no black managers or general managers in Major League Baseball, Koppel turned to Campanis and asked, "Why?" The courteous Campanis struggled with his answer.
"Well, Mr. Koppel, there have been some black managers."
Authors note there had been exactly two at that point, Frank Robinson and Larry Doby.
"But I really can't answer that question directly. The only thing I can say is you have to pay your dues when you become a manager. Generally, you have to go to the minor leagues. There's not very much pay involved, and some of the better-known black players have been able to get into other fields and make a pretty good living in that way."
At that point, the interview started to go sideways for Campanis. Koppel pressed on, asking if prejudice was involved.
"I don't think it's prejudice," Campanis responded. "I truly believe they may not have some of the necessities to be a field manager, or perhaps a general manager."
Necessities? After Koppel pointed out that the comment sounded like garbage, Campanis persisted.
"How many quarterbacks do you have? How many pitchers do you have that are black? Why are black people not good swimmers? Because they don't have the buoyancy."
Koppel snapped back. "It may just be they don't have access to all the country clubs and the pools." The Dodgers fired Campanis the next day. "I later met Al Campanis and found him to be a decent man," Koppel recalled in 2005. "I think he was as much a victim of his own generation as anything else. Back in the 1940s or 50s, for someone to have said something like that would not have been the subject of any criticism in any white audience. To say it in the mid-1980s was another thing altogether. He was just an old man who didn't realize that certain times had come and certain times had gone. And that was not an appropriate thing for a vice president of the LA Dodgers to be saying." Ignorance was not confined to older executives and fans. In his 1987 biography, Jackie Robinson, A Life Remembered, author Maury Allen quotes St. Louis Cardinals 25-year-old star outfielder and 1985 National League Rookie of the Year Vince Coleman as saying, "I don't know nothing about no Jackie Robinson." Coleman was not alone. In 1989, Sport magazine interviewed several then-current black ballplayers. To some, Robinson was a heroic figure, just as he had been to Curt Flood some 20 years earlier. Too many weren't sure who Jackie was. Clearly the game, and the country, had work to do. Eventually, the movement to honor Robinson got more traction. At first, certain players, then certain teams, and eventually all of baseball would honor him and reflect on the journey each April 15th, Jackie Robinson Day. Every player would wear number 42 on that day, and no one would wear it on any other day. As one player put it in the years leading up to the jersey retirement, "No one is really worthy to wear that number." Vince Coleman would steal 752 bases during his 13-year major league career, a league-leading 109 of them in 1987. Most of which found him standing on second base. Putting Jackie's number 42 on that base in 1987 must not have made enough of an impression. Today, putting it on the back of every player in baseball one day a year has not brought down the curtain on racial prejudice, but it certainly has helped further enlighten a generation. For the box score, play-by-play, and a look at my Jackie Robinson jersey, visit openingday5050.com.